If your furnace or boiler isn't keeping up with cold weather, call Bonfi. They have regular rates from 7 in the morning to 10 at night. There is always a live person to take your call 24/7. Bonfi technicians are trained and certified. Their trucks are stocked with parts so they can get your heating system up and running again quickly and right. If your furnace and boiler is on its last leg and needs to be replaced, Bonfi can install a new one for you. Installations can happen as soon as the same day. Bonfi is a family-owned and operated business, been in business since 1993, licensed, bonded, insured. Any equipment Bonfi installs comes with a lifetime warranty. You'll never have to worry about your heating system again for as long as you live in the home. If your heating system needs service or needs to be replaced, better call Bonfi. Save $200 off a new furnace or boiler installation when you tell the folks at Bonfi you heard about it from John Krasinski.
It is the afternoon of February 24th. It's warm outside, and you know, this is Preps Day with John Millay. So once again, we have an Olympic gold medalist. We just mix them in whenever we feel like it. We'll introduce today's guest in a minute. I want to remind you that this is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod, see all the shows as they are released, all the sports content, all the outdoor content. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks to our sponsors, Pizza Barn in Princeton, Bonfi Home Services, and Rudy Luther Toyota. I'm going to turn it over now to John Millay to introduce today's guest. Later in the show, we will get to AAA Award winners. Mr. Football, we will, as always, thank a ref and we'll give you some positive stuff. But for now, here's John Millay.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Our special guest is an Olympic gold medalist, Phil Drobnik from up north in Eveleth on the Iron Range, coach of the Olympic champion men's curling team from a couple years ago. But we're not here to talk about curling or the Olympics. We're here to talk about another gold medal that I was more than pleased to hand off to Phil last week. And when we recorded last week's show, Jim, that whole thing was in the process, and I didn't tip our hand because I thought this is, at that point, I didn't have a story done, but it's become quite a deal, and it's a gold medal from the very first Minnesota State High School League Boys State Hockey Tournament, 1945, 76 years ago, and Phil's grandpa, his late grandfather, Ron Drobnik, was the goalie on that team, and Phil had certainly heard his grandpa's stories from those days. They won the gold medal in 45. The Golden Bears, I think, were third place in 46. But when grandpa and grandma both passed away, Phil told me they kind of went through their stuff. And the gold medal from 1945 was not there. And I had just almost by happenstance been in possession of a gold medal from that tournament, which I've had for more than 2 years, you know, looking for a home. And Phil, maybe you want to pick it up from there. It all started last week for the two of us on Twitter.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys, and thanks again to you, John, for reaching out to the family and offering that. I sent a tweet out last week on Tuesday, just in memory. It was 76 years ago that they had won the first Minnesota State High School hockey tournament. The state high school hockey tournament was held near and dear to my grandpa's heart. He was a longtime fan, never missed a state hockey tournament other than the 2 years that he was drafted. So, you know, I had sent a tweet out in honor of him, and then John reached out to me and said, hey, I've got this medal. And I was just like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I don't think I was following you on Twitter. I think somebody I do follow had retweeted that. And my assumption was, you know, your family had his gold medal. So that was just when we connected on private messaging on Twitter and you told me that you did not have his medal, then I thought, okay, this is fate. This was supposed to happen. This medal, you know, it was found at a Goodwill store in Austin, Texas in 2018 by someone who played high school hockey in Minnesota. And I wrote about all these details. He sent it back up here to his mom, also an Olympian, an Olympic figure skater. Those details are on the story on John's Journal on MSHSL.org. And she knew Dorothy McIntyre, a pioneer in girls and women's sports in Minnesota, retired from the high school league. And that's when I heard from Dorothy, who said, there's this medal. Would you guys like to have it? And I said, sure. And it came in the mail, and at the 2018 Boys State Hockey Tournament, I was on the air with Tom Hauser during the telecast, and I held it up and said, "We're looking for a home for this thing. It's from the 1945 Eveleth hockey team, and it belongs to some family." So, and we didn't get any bites on that. And then Phil, you were telling me when we met, and I gave you the medal, that one of your uncles kind of vaguely remembered that, seeing something about it on TV.
Yeah, he did. My Uncle Gary had actually saw, and, you know, he just didn't put two and two together. I don't know if he didn't remember that we didn't have Grandpa Ron's, or, you know, and in 2018, obviously, that was when everything was going on with the Olympics. So that was one of the few tournaments I've missed watching. So I didn't get to even to see that side of it. So, really neat to see where it's come.
Yeah, and it's just one of the coolest stories I've ever been a part of. And Tom Hauser revisited the whole thing last week on Channel 5 here in the Metro. Did a great story about it, and I did a Zoom interview with one of the Duluth TV stations yesterday. And I know Sam up there had talked to you, Phil. And what's it like in Eveleth? You know, for people who've now seen this medal, what's the reaction been up there?
Yeah, everyone's just really excited to see that this medal come back home to Eveleth. And, you know, we had the whole family at the Hippodrome on Monday. My Uncle Gary, my cousin Joe, and his son Jake, and then my father Tim Drobnik, and, you know, just to kind of walk around and look at the trophies. And, you know, we all had mentioned that we hadn't been in the Hippodrome in quite a while, any of us.
Yeah.
My cousin Joe was a avid hockey player and played for Eveleth, and you know, just to see the banners, and you know, we were taking pictures with all the you know, there's just so many legends that have come out of that Hippodrome, and, you know, it's gonna ironically that place is turning 100 years old next year. It's you know, one of the oldest arenas in the United States for hockey. I think it's in like the 10.
I'm racking my memory. I've been to the arena in Hibbing. I don't know that I've ever been in the Hippodrome. I think I've driven past, so I've got to get up there before it turns 101 and just kind of study some of that history too.
Yeah, it's really cool when you walk in the door. You just see pictures everywhere and the tradition, and, you know, knowing that my grandpa was a part of that, knowing how much he cared about that. I mean, it was, you know, just, it allowed me to open up some memories, you know, when I went to look for his third place medal then, you know, so I could bring them both. And I read a couple of old articles that were in one from the, you know, Star Tribune from, I think it was, I want to say 1978 that they did on him. Yeah. And then there was a Sports Illustrated article that I found online from 1983. Just cool to read those old stories about my grandpa.
Yeah, I found that Sports Illustrated article too. I'd read that before. That's kind of the quintessential story about the state hockey tournament. E.M. Swift, just a well-known Sports Illustrated writer, came to town and hung out with your grandpa and grandma in their room at the Radisson, where they were kind of the hosts for everybody from up north. And that's just a small part of that story, but it's a famous story. I retweeted a link to that last week. And the mystery, the part of the mystery we don't know is how this medal got to Texas. We don't know. I put it in the story. We'd like to think it was your grandpa's. We don't know that. There's no evidence that it was. But, you know, there were only a dozen players and a couple of coaches. I don't know how many medals were handed out in those days. But there can't be very many. Maybe there's 15 of those medals tops. Maybe there's, you know, 12. I don't know. But and that's a part of the mystery we'll probably never answer. Have you guys discussed that could that possibly have been your grandpa's actual medal?
You know, we did, actually. We discussed it. And I first asked my uncle, because, you know, he's the older son, and he, you know, he can't remember. He thinks they had it at some point. You know, and then I did talk to my dad about it, and he, you know, reminded me that at one point my grandpa's house was actually broken into, and they took a bunch of coins where he thought the medal might have been. He said, you know, who knows? Maybe they took that, and they thought, well, what are we going to do with this? So we'll who knows? That, you know, it's hard to say whose it is, but, you know, the most important thing is that it was part of someone's that was on that team. And, you know, we've got it back in Eveleth. And, you know, like I had mentioned to you, it's my goal to do up a nice display and put and frame everything, you know, and make sure that team is honored the way it should. I mean, you know, hopefully we can put something together and maybe even have it nice enough where we can display it at their 80th anniversary at the state high school hockey tournament here in 4 years.
Yeah, that's coming right up. And I was joking with somebody. I know you did tell me your dad was in the Navy, and this guy in Texas who found these, he basically bought a box of stuff at like a silent auction at a Goodwill store. And he said there were a lot of different things. There were some military type things in there. And I was joking with somebody. I said maybe Grandpa Ron was playing poker and lost that medal to somebody else in the Navy back then. But I don't know if he was a poker player.
But. Any kind of gambling he would have done. So
there you go. Maybe we can add that to the story. And I thought when Tom Hauser did his story on Channel 5 last week, the way that story ended, you were holding your Olympic medal and your grandpa's medal. And tell everybody what you told Tom when Tom was asking you which one are you most proud of.
Yeah, I mean, Tom had thrown that question at me, and he said, "Which one of these medals are you more proud of?" And I just said that, you know, I'm pretty sure my grandpa would answer it and say that he's more proud of the Olympic medal, but there's no doubt I'm more proud of the medal from 1945 to the history that goes along with that. 76 years ago, these guys never left town. Like, this was, you know, for them to get to the cities was pretty special, and to go and play down there. It was great, great, great stories. And to be able to get my grandpa and Milan Begic, who was a part of that team. I went to the hunting shack and they shared stories. Anyone from Eveleth or that was involved in hockey that stopped at our hunting shack, they would tell stories all night long about hockey and the state tournament. And yeah, it was just great. Great memories.
That's awesome that you have firsthand knowledge of all that, and now that medal's back in your family's hands. I'm so thrilled by this. I don't have the words for how thrilled I am, and that we just by fate connected on Twitter, and the day later, I'm handing you that medal. And I was telling a couple people. I said I'll never forget what I saw. You know, the medal. I handed it to you. It was wrapped in a napkin inside a little Ziploc bag inside the cardboard mailing thing that it was sent to me in. And I have looked at that medal and held it in my hand so many times, not recently, because it kind of had faded the last year or so. But to see you, to hand that to you and to watch you unwrap that thing and hold that medal in your hand and let me take a couple of pictures, I'll never forget that, because that was like, here's the link right here from your grandpa to you and the rest of your family. So what was that like for you to see that thing and hold it?
Yeah, really special. Yeah, it really was, because I had a really close relationship with my grandpa. So to be able to, you know, just see what he had achieved, especially since I had looked so hard for it back in 2013, to see what he achieved, and just to know that this was that connection with the memories that I had heard and the stories that I had heard about him and the team and Milan. It was really a special moment for me. And I've got, as I think I had mentioned to you, I've got their picture in my living room of the team. I've got another picture that the Minnesota Wild honored them up in my bedroom. So this moment is something that I've kept very close to me and tried to carry this tradition on. So this is kind of that closing piece of the puzzle. So really to be able to put this thing together and this whole display will be really cool.
Excellent, excellent. Let's talk briefly before we let you go, Phil. Talk about curling. You're coaching. You're busy coaching curling, and there's a world championship coming up that everybody's getting ready for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't be. I do have to mention a little shout out that today is our 3-year anniversary of winning the gold medal.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we all remember that.
2018, and that was the pivotal portion of my speech that I gave to the guys prior to the game. As I said, that will go down in your memory for the rest of your life. So a shout out to Team Schuster and the boys for that today, 3 years ago today. But yeah, we're preparing for a world championship that's coming up in Calgary. And we leave March 25th. It's for – for those who follow the junior hockey championships that went on in Canada. Similar situation to them. We're going to have a bubble. We'll have all 14 countries fly in, and we'll have to test prior to coming in, and we'll have to have all those COVID tests, but 5-day quarantine, and then off to practice, and then start playing on day 7. So, you know, we'll be up there for about 3 weeks, 2.5 to 3 weeks, and hopefully 3 weeks, because that means we'll be playing in the gold medal game. And you know, we are, it's our goal. Everything was messed up with COVID in qualifying for the Olympics. So this event is huge. The top six countries earn their direct berth into the Olympics. The other teams have to go into a kind of a play-in Olympic challenge round type thing. So, you know, we've got the guys prepared. We got to go out there and take care of business.
Good. Jim, you have anything you want to ask Phil?
I mean, you covered it. Just, I guess my one question is how has the pandemic affected you, your preparation, and your sport?
Oh, it's been challenging. It really has been. It's, you know, fortunately, the guys have been able to get on the ice to play. But as anyone that follows curling would know, that most of our meaningful competitions happen in Canada. I mean, that's kind of where the everyone goes to compete and play at the highest level. And we haven't been able to get across the border, so that's been challenging. And we've played a lot of inner squad events, you know, national teams against national teams, but it's just not that real competition. So when we hit the ice in Calgary, it's going to be the first time we've played a meaningful full game. Fortunately, we've had practice ice, which has been great, and we've been able to do our training. But, you know, everyone's adapted and, you know, had to make changes no matter what they're doing, if it's regular life, if it's sports, if it's, you know, your professional life. And, as I've said, we're better together, and we can get through this together, and hopefully there's light at the end of the tunnel, and, you know, we can all learn something from this and get back to some normalcy here soon.
Yeah, you talk about curling in Canada. That kind of sparked a memory, and I just Googled something here, Phil. I was up there the first season of the Wild. I was working at the Star Tribune. I think I was in Vancouver where they were playing, and during the day there was a funeral for Sandy Schmerler, who was known as Schmerler the Curler, who died at 36 years old, kind of a Canadian curling legend. And I just remember, you know, she was from some small town in the you know, not a city girl, and this legendary curler. And I just remember being transfixed. I was watching her funeral on Canadian TV, and it just blew me away how important she was. I'd never heard her name before, but yeah. I bet in curling, Schmerler the Curler is a big name. Clearly in Canada.
Yeah, staple of the game, you know, Olympic medalist from 1998, and she was at Saskatchewan. And they have a big foundation up there right now. They, in fact, on Sunday, I think they raised almost $1 million for her foundation that they do for research. And she's still very legendary to this day in Canada, and the Sandra Mueller Foundation.
It's interesting how, as you're talking about curling in Canada, that phrase Schmerler the Curler popped into my head, and I just hit Google, and there it was. So.
There it was. Yep.
Good. Well, Phil, thanks for being on our show this week. Congratulations. Good luck up there. Say hi to everybody in your family in Eveleth. Give them our best. We're so happy that medal is back home and that hole has been filled. Can't thank you enough.
Yeah, thank you. And again, on behalf of the family, thank you so much. And on behalf of Eveleth, we're really happy to have that. So, and thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. Thanks, Phil. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
guys.
So much, Phil. And people can follow Phil on Twitter at Coach Phil with two L's. Coach Phil with two L's. That's his Twitter handle. We appreciate Phil joining us. Just another Olympic gold medalist dropping by the show. Yeah, that's what we do here. Hey, we want to thank our longtime sponsors, Pizza Barn in Princeton. We also want to thank Bonfi Home Services, which is sponsoring a number of shows across the TalkNorth.com podcast network. If you'd like to sponsor this show or any shows on the network, as we continue to grow, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. Right now, John, though, tell us about Pizza Barn in Princeton.
Yeah, a lot going on at the Pizza Barn, Jim. And It's Lent, so Jody Stay, who runs the shop up there and is a great part of our show, has got a lot of specials for Lent. $2 off the white pizza. You can have shrimp on that if you want it. $2 off a garden pizza, which is one of their specialties, 100% vegetables. And they've got a fish and chips special, $9.99 fish and chips. You can get waffle fries if you like, with a bonus fried dill pickle spear on the side. So there's always great things going on up there. As we've said before, the pizza of the month for February is Parker's Italian Beef Pizza. And peeking into March, which is right around the corner, it's an annual tradition in March. The pizza of the month is the Reuben Pizza. And as always, there are great specials every day at the Pizza Barn. Everything's available for dine-in, delivery, takeout, curbside. They do a great job. We're tickled to have them be part of our show.
Thank you to Pizza Barn. And also, we want to thank Rooted Luther Toyota, which is also sponsoring the Cheryl Reeves Show.
Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
All right, let's get to our other categories. Let's talk about AAA award winners.
Yeah, some quick hitters here, Jim. Every year, the high school league announces AAA award winners. These are seniors who have a grade point average of 3.0 or higher and participate in league-sponsored athletic and fine arts activities. And the AAA, that stands for academics, arts, and athletics. So these are those well-rounded kids who do great things in a lot of different areas. They stay busy. They're leaders in their schools. There's 32 winners from around the state. I'd love to list them all, but I'm not going to do that right now. Basically, for high school league purposes, the state is divided into 8 regions, and each of those regions is divided into Class A schools and Class AA. That's how we come up with 32 winners, one male and one female from each region, each class in each region. If you go to the MSHSL Facebook page, you can find a link to look at all those. I've also tweeted that link, and congratulations to all those AAA winners. Normally, they are all honored on television at halftime of one of the state basketball tournament games. I imagine that tradition is in flux with COVID, and it's going to be a lot different, but doesn't diminish the accomplishments of all those kids. So congratulations to the AAA award winners.
How about Mr. Football?
Yeah, I don't know that this was any kind of a surprise. The Minnesota Football Coaches Association and the Vikings sponsor the Mr. Football Award. They've done it for a long time. And the winner this year from the 2020 season, Jake Ratzlaff, he's a strong safety tight end from Rosemount. That's a 6A football team. That's the highest division. He's been a starter since ninth grade. That's pretty rare for 6A football. He's the 17th player to receive that award overall and the second from Rosemount back in 2009. Zach Vra was Mr. Football from Rosemount. And Jake is going to matriculate at the University of Wisconsin. So he's going to be wearing a lot of red. And he could become quite the college football player, I think. He's done it all for them on both sides of the ball. And Rosemount's had a ton of great football players. And the coaches say this might be the best one they've ever had. So congrats to Mr. Football, Jake Ratzlaff.
Wow. It is amazing to start at a 6A team in ninth grade. Because, you're just playing against big guys.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And he's one of these guys. I think they probably see him as a strong safety type, outside linebacker in college, and just fast and strong, football attitude. You know, they say he could play any position. He could play quarterback. He could play any position on the field. And he's played a lot of different ones in 4 years in high school, but that's a pretty good award.
Cool stuff. All right, let's thank a ref.
Yeah, this is coming from a ref, Robert Wanick in Breckenridge up in northwest Minnesota. He tweeted this in the recent, I guess it was last week. He said, I officiate my 29th and 30th basketball games of the season Friday. So this was last week. For sportsmanship, fan behavior, and coach composure, it's been the best year in 7 years for me. So he works in two states. He continued in North Dakota and Minnesota. The kids play hard and the ADs treat you with respect. Sign up to be a ref today. It's worth it. And a lot of us have been joking that with the limited spectators, first it was 150 at indoor events, now it's 250, that this is a great time if you're a young official. This is the season you want to be in there, because I've seen it myself. Everybody is behaving very well. When the gym is full and the band is playing and everybody's screaming, I think it's easier for adults watching from the stands to get a little agitated, to get a little out of hand, than I have seen. None of that this year. If you're doing that this year, you are really sticking out like a sore thumb, and I just haven't seen that. So that's a great tweet from Robert up in Breckenridge. That it's been a great season. And then he's a basketball official, but I think it's the same in hockey and wrestling and everything else. It's been a good, sportsmanship-wise, this has been a great year.
Yeah, it's great to hear. We're going to wrap up the show with some positive stuff. Thanks again to Phil Drobnik. Thanks again to Brandon Morton, our producer. Wherever you listen to TalkNorth.com, rate us, rip us, let us know how we're doing. Again, you can always find all the shows at TalkNorth.com, but any podcast app will do. And let's wrap up some positive stuff here, John.
Yeah, a couple of milestones, and then a most valuable teammate. Congrats to Woodbury High School boys hockey coach Wes Bolin. He got his 500th career victory, and he's been coaching high school hockey here for 36 years. 500, that's a big number. One of the top gymnastics coaches in the state for a long time, Debbie Driscoll from Matamidi, does a fantastic job with that program. She got her 300th career win this week. And we'll wrap it up with our most valuable teammate this week, McKenna Schroeder of Byron High School, the Byron Bears. She's a basketball player, but she has had an off-season injury. So she's made the most of this season despite not being able to play. And she's nominated by her coaches and administrators down there. They wrote that she's been supporting and helping her teammates and coaches, whether she's assisting coaches with drills or offering encouragement and support from the bench. She continues to maintain a positive attitude and remains an active member of her team. We've had a few of these most valuable teammate winners in that same role have had some disastrous injury where they just can't play, but yet they don't miss practice, they don't miss games. It means so much to them to be with their friends and help out however they can. So congrats to the latest most valuable teammate, McKenna Schroeder of Byron.
Great stuff from John. Thanks for lining up Phil Drobnik. Good talking to him. Reminder, we have tons of outdoor content at TalkNorth.com. We also have such stars as Cheryl Reeve, Roy Smalley, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, John Krasinski. Please check out all the other shows at TalkNorth.com, and we'll be back to talk to you next week.